Welcome to the Embrace Church podcast. We exist as a church to relentlessly reach the next person for Jesus. Wherever you're at today, we hope this message encourages you. Let's jump in.
Well, hey, Embrace. I hope everyone's doing all right so far today. My name is Adam. I'm one of the pastors here. To everyone at our campuses, at our network churches, to each and every one of you with us online, just know we are thrilled and overjoyed that you decided to come and worship with us here today. Before we get started, I just want to say, 2 weeks from today, on Sunday, May 12th, which is Mother's Day, we are launching into our new home on the west side of Sioux Falls at our west side campus, and we are so excited about what God has in store. Service times are at 9 and 10:30 a.m., and with all of this, I just have two things to tell you. First off, invite. Regardless of what campus you're at, even network church, invite. If you have a friend, a family member, a coworker who lives on the west side of Sioux Falls or really anywhere in Sioux Falls, invite them and tell them to come. That weekend, it's going to be brand new for everyone. And so there will not be any ounce of like who's an insider, who's not. It will be brand new for everyone, which means it is the perfect Sunday to come and check it out. So first off, invite. Secondly, especially to all of you 57th Street folks, I want to challenge you to consider moving. We talked about this last weekend, this challenge to move, and I'm going to throw this map back up here. If you live in the top left corner of Sioux Falls or that direction, I just want to encourage you to consider moving to this new West Side campus. Try it for 2 months. That's kind of the challenge. Try it for 2 months. If it's not a fit, totally cool, but move to help launch this campus, to help reach people on the west side of Sioux Falls, just to allow God to move in and through your life. I can't put it into words, and I mean this, that Sunday, how envious I will be of everyone who is at the West Side campus, okay? The pioneer inside of me, the person who loves to be on the edge of where God is moving, that is where I wish I could be. And so just know that I am incredibly jealous of all of you who will be there on Mother's Day, okay? So my guess is that throughout your life, you can think about different people in situations where a promise was made to you only to have that promise broken, right? My guess is in looking back at your life, you can think about different people who made a promise to you only to not follow through with that promise. Maybe for you, it was your mom and dad who always, through childhood and now as an adult, always promised you that they were going to show up, and yet over and over again, they didn't. And it's just like, but you promised. Or maybe for you, as in junior high, that friend who promised they were going to call you, they promised they were going to invite you, they promised they were going to make you feel included, and yet time and time again, they didn't. And it's just like, again, you promised. Or maybe for you, it's an ex-husband or an ex-wife who promised to love you for better or worse, in sickness or in health, and then they didn't. And every part of you is just like, but you promised. Whether it's your plumber showing up on a Monday when they promise they're gonna be there on a Monday, whether it's the next politician with their campaign promises, maybe it's your kids who time and time again promise that they're gonna clean their bedroom. I don't know about anyone else, but the older I get, the more leery I am and cynical I am when it comes to promises. Anybody else? Or it's just like, okay, I'm glad that you said that. I'm glad you made this promise, but I'll just wait to see what actually happens. And so if I'm being brutally honest, when it comes to God, it's just like, why would God be any different? Why would he be any different? My guess is that God is like just like us humans, and he makes promises, but he never keeps them. Thankfully, friends, in this area in particular, in most areas, but in this area in particular, God is so different from us. He's so different from our ex. He's so different from our flaky friend. He's so different than you. He's so different than me. I'm just saying, here's some good news. In a world where everyone breaks their promises, we have a God who keeps his. That's good news, isn't it? Again, in a world where everyone breaks their promises, or at least it feels like everyone breaks their promises, we have a God who keeps his. And you see, our God, he keeps his promises no matter what. His promises aren't based on you or me or anyone else. His promises are not based on any circumstances and situations that can change at any given moment. Instead, God's promises are based on him and who he is. And in case we don't know, our God, he is constant, he is eternal, he is forever the same. We have a God who, when he makes promises, he keeps them. Friends, I'm so glad that with God, it's never, "But God, you promised." Instead, it's always, "I can trust you." Why? Because you promised. Because you promised. He's so different than us. What he promises, he always follows through with. And so throughout this series, we're going to look at the promises of God. We're going to look at these core foundational promises that are so important for all of us to know. These are the promises I want my kids to know. These are the promises that on my worst days, I need to be reminded of. These are the promises that you and I, we can hold on to each and every day. And so today, for our first promise, I wanna look at the words found in Psalm 18 from a guy named David. And it's believed that David wrote these words when he was younger, but it's kind of cool. Recently, we went through the book of 2 Samuel here at the church. You might remember, if you're new here, we did the series through the book of 2 Samuel just a couple of months back. And if you read 2 Samuel, you might remember that near the end of that book, which is the end of David's life, David's saying a song. He's saying a song. Well, in that song, it's the same words found in Psalm 18. And so it's pretty cool to think that King David, he sang this song throughout the entirety of his life. He sang them as a young boy, a young man, as a warrior, up until taking his last breath, he sang this song. And so starting in Psalm 18, verse 3, here is what David tells us. David says, "I called to the Lord, who is worthy of my praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The floods of destruction overwhelmed me. The snares of death confronted me." And then he goes on to say our main focus for today. He says, "In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried out to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears." Again, when David sings this song for the first time, he's overwhelmed. His very life is in jeopardy. He feels trapped. He feels entangled. And then let me read these words again. "In my distress," David says, "I called to the Lord. I cried out to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears." Now, friends, I don't know about you, but one of the hardest words to say is help, isn't it? It's such a hard word to say. It's like, help, it should be so easy, and yet it's brutal at times. The other day, I was at a store, and I couldn't find out where to check out. After whatever, ordering whatever, I couldn't find a trigger, figure out where to check out. And so I'm looking there and I'm kind of taking steps back and forth until finally the older lady behind the counter, she says, "Sir, it looks like you could use some help." I wanted to say back, "Don't tell me what I need, okay? You don't know me. I don't need any help." Truly though, we hate asking for help. Even as I'm talking right now, my anxiety is increasing. I don't ever want to seem needy. It's like, I don't want anybody to think that I'm dependent on them. And whether it's with something big or something small, I can be at the very end of my rope, and yet I am fully convinced that I will figure it out on my own. The truth is, nobody likes to ask for help, but everyone needs it. Nobody likes to ask for help, but everyone needs it. How can you say everyone? Well, after God created man in the Garden of Eden To be clear, life is perfect at this point in the garden, and yet God looks at Adam, and what does he say to Adam? God says, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. They're literally in perfection in this Garden of Eden, and yet God still looks at all of us, and he says, you need some help. You need a little bit of help. Once again, nobody likes to ask for help, but everyone needs it. And we don't like asking help from others. We don't like even asking for help from God. Once again, though, going back to David's words, David says, in my distress, I cried out to my God for help. Just listen to this. This word distress here, it means to tie up or to lock up, like in chains. And so in light of these words, I'm just curious to ask right now, are you walking through anything in life and you just feel tied up by it? Walking through anything and you just feel like you're tied up. Maybe it's something with your family and you just find yourself tied up with fear and worry. Maybe it's something at work and you're normally like a steady Eddie person and you kind of pride yourself on being, I'm just kind of the same, and yet you're just tied up with fear and anxiety about it. Maybe you're anxious about money. Maybe you're anxious about being anxious. Maybe it's something with your kids, something about a broken relationship, something with your health, and you just feel tied up. Or maybe you're here and you feel locked up by something. It just feels like you're in chains. Locked up in shame by something you did last week. Something you did last night, and it's like, you're gonna go to church now? After that? You're going to church? Maybe it's shame from something years ago. You've tried to bury in your backyard, and yet it just keeps haunting you. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's depression, bitterness, and you just feel locked up. There's a struggle you're trying to overcome. Friends, if any of this is true, looking at King David, my encouragement, cry out for help. Cry out for help. If any of this is true, if you're distressed, if you feel tied up or locked up like you're in chains, looking at King David, cry out for help. Like seriously, don't just try and suck it up and be tough. Don't try and act like it's no big deal. Also, don't even just think about telling God or asking someone else to tell God on your behalf. No, cry out for help. Say it unfiltered to him. Yell it if you need it. Jesus, I need your help. Jesus, I need you. I need all that you are. I need your help. Cry out for help. So I don't think that I regularly struggle with the depression. I'm typically a fairly upbeat individual. My wife, Beck, has been super open about her own struggle with it in hopes that it would shine light on someone else walking through the same thing. But last weekend on Saturday, in a way I can't explain, I woke up and I was just incredibly heavy-hearted. I woke up and immediately was just highly discouraged. And I'm not sure if it was grief. I'm not sure if I'm being honest. It was being anxious about last week's message. It made no rational sense to me. I'm in one of the greatest seasons of my life. Not for fancy, flashy reasons, but every day I can't believe how thankful I am for everything in my life. But I was just so discouraged last Saturday. In my journal that I write in each day, I just wrote down the words, Lord, I'm so heavy-hearted and I don't know why. It was just like this cloud was on me. I just felt so blue. Well, throughout the day, I couldn't say it enough. I mean, literally, it felt like every breath I was taking was just, Jesus, I need your help. Jesus, I need your help. I need your joy. I'm so discouraged, Lord. Would you just give me your vision? I need your peace. I need your stillness. I just need your help. Last Sunday, I woke up and I still felt the exact same way, even though the services were, honestly, it was one of my favorite days of services in the history of our church. Yet the whole morning, I was so discouraged to the point that on my way home, again, this makes no rational sense, I just wanted to sob. And so I got home, I took my one nap of the week, a Sunday afternoon, I took my nap, I woke up, I was still discouraged. And so I texted some of my closest, long-term, close men in the church here, and I just said, this makes no sense to me, but would you just pray for me? Man after man, I just started messaging me. Adam, I got you. Adam, I'm praying for you right now. Friends, last weekend, I needed help. Needed help from others. I needed help from Jesus. Once again, just to say it, one of the hardest words to say, this four-letter word, help. Nobody likes to ask for it. Everybody needs it. Everyone needs it. And again, looking at King David, just to remind you, this is a powerful king. This is a powerful individual, powerful leader. And yet his encouragement to us, cry out for help. Cry out. Okay, so I want to read these words from David again. David says, in my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried out to my God for help. And then he shares our promise today. And this is so important. He goes on to say, from his temple, God heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. Again, today's promise that we want to hold on to, that we can cling on to is this. When you cry out for help, God will hear your voice. That's good news, isn't it? When you cry out, when I cry out for help, God will hear your voice. Friends, when you and I cry out for help, it's not wishful thinking. We're not doing so to empty our minds and find zen. We're not just talking to ourselves. No, when we cry out for help, the God of the universe, the one who set the moon and the stars in their place, he hears our voice. He hears our cry. When you cry out for help, God will hear your voice. Today's promise. Now, if I haven't said it lately, I love my children, all 17 of them. I actually only have four, but it feels like 17 sometimes. Don't judge me, okay? Love my children. I'm not sure what my daughter and I are doing it, but all the cool kids are doing it, so I'm just doing it, okay? So I'm not sure what that is, but that's what we're doing. My kids would tell you though, so I love my children deeply, they would tell you that I have this medical condition called selective dad hearing. Any other dads have this disorder? I'm sorry, guys. Just to be honest, I'm still not sure if it's a medical condition because I'm pretty convinced it might be a precious gift from God himself. So I'm sorry that more of you dads didn't raise your hands. But my kids, they will tell you that I just don't hear stuff. And so they say all these things that I just don't hear. Some examples. Dad, Anderson won't shut up. I never hear it. Someone tells me that it happens. Dad, they're being mean to me. Or the newest one, Dad, will you take me to Starbucks? So they say these things and I'm like, I literally can't hear you. And then I say back, I love you too. Awesome, I love you. But all joking aside, as a parent, if my kids are sad, as a parent, if my kids are hurt, as with my kids, if my kids really need my help in a way I can't explain it, I always hear their voice. That makes sense to the moms and dads. It's like if they really, really need help, their voice is instantly crystal clear in my ears. I can be in a sea of other people. I can be inside my house and they're outside when they cry out. I don't know how to explain it. Every single time their voice reaches my ears. Any moms and dads know what I'm talking about? Friends, this right here, it's just imperfect, tiny glimpse of the way that God hears us. Once again, our promise, when you cry out for help, God will hear your voice. Your voice will reach his ears every single time it reaches his ears. To be so clear, no matter where we are, when we cry out, he hears our voice. No matter what stupid thing we just did or said, when we cry out, he hears our voice. Whether we feel far from God or we feel close to God, whether we feel like a sinner or a saint, whether it's on our best day or our worst day, even all of you men at our Durfee campus, even in prison, if you feel totally forgotten, when you cry out, God will hear your voice. It's a promise, and his promises, they can be trusted. For all of us, this is true. When you cry out, when you're scared, he hears your voice. When you cry out, you feel overwhelmed, he hears your voice. When you don't know what the right decision is to make in this situation, you're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. When you cry out, he hears your voice. When you're uncertain if you even want to be alive again tomorrow or even today, when you cry out, he hears your voice. When you're addicted and everybody else has given up on you because you're a train wreck, when you cry out, God will hear your voice. And friends, in case we don't know, we don't have to wait until our lives are a train wreck. We don't have to wait until we're a complete disaster. With the simplest, smallest of things, we can cry out for help. Jesus, would you help me to be a better dad than I was yesterday? Would you help me? Jesus, with this conversation at work that I'm not really sure what to say, and would you just help me? With this project that I'm behind, with this thing that I don't know what to do in this messy situation with family and friends and all this kind of stuff, will you help me? Whether it's something big or small, we can cry out for help. And God not only hears our voice, but one step further, he helps us. Like any good father would. He helps us. My kids, they need my help. I turn into a bulldozer for them. When we cry out, God not only hears, but he helps us. And to be clear, this doesn't mean that when we cry out for help, that God's gonna make all of our problems go away. It doesn't mean that immediately our pain and heartache will be gone. What does it mean? It means that he will always be with us. It means that he will always provide for us. It means that he will always carry us no matter what we're going through. It means that he will always listen to us and never get annoyed because we're talking with him about the same exact thing that we've been talking with him about for the last 10 years. No. It means that he will always be there. You see, at the end of the day, God's plan for us is good. It's good. It's so much better than our plans will ever be. Also, just to let you know, if nothing else, when we get honest with God, brutally honest with God, there's almost immediately a relief. When we get honest with him, it's like immediately this weight comes off our chest, this weight comes off our shoulders. And why is this? Because we were created for this. We were created to have this honest, intimate relationship with God. And I know it's possible that some of us grew up in the church and it's just like you had to fake it until you made it. And you had to put on your Sunday's best. And so if your marriage is a disaster, well, put on a happy face. Your kid addicted, making all kinds of terrible decisions. I've never been prouder of my son. Just kind of put on a face no matter what. You had to act prim and proper. And guys, this can't be any further away from what God wants from us and with us. Well, how can you say that, Adam? Is that because you won't find it in Scripture? The Pharisees were the only ones who did that, and Jesus called them out ruthlessly. Instead, what we find all throughout Scripture, in my distress, I called out to the Lord. And I was really quiet and I didn't make a commotion. No, I cried out to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. This is the relationship that our God longs for with us. This is the relationship he's craving with us, this honest, intimate relationship with him. He's like, I want that. I want the real you. Yeah, you're going to change when you start following me, but I want you right where you are right now today. Take the filters off. This is what God wants. Again, this promise, when you cry out for help, God will hear your voice. This is today's promise in a world where everyone breaks their promises. We have a God. We have a God who keeps his. He's trustworthy. He always follows through with his promises. So right now, I'm going to keep these words up here just for a moment. And I really want to encourage you as we speak to write this down, if you would. Just take a quick picture of it, like literally right now. Just take your phone out, take a picture of it, or write it down. Type it on your phone. Friends, there is so much power in knowing the promises of God. There's so much power in memorizing scripture. And I'll just be honest, I'm terrible at memorizing anything. It's not my strength. And so I need to be super disciplined to do so. But there's so much power in any moment, in any circumstance, whether it's for you or someone you love, being able to declare the promises of God over our lives. It's like, that's not true. Why can I say that? Because God promises X, Y, and Z. These are the promises I want my kids to know. This is what the promise that I need to know and hold on to. This is the promise I want you to know. This is the promise that as a church, I want us to stand and live our lives on. And so each week in this series, we're just gonna share one promise with a scripture. And we just wanna encourage you to memorize these promises, to place them deep within your soul, deep within your marriage and your family even, that you just hold on to these promises. Let me read it again. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried out to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. When you cry out for help, God will hear your voice. Thank you, God, it's true. Thank you, God, that your promises can be trusted.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We'd love to have you join us in person at one of our locations. You can find out more at iamembrace.com.